Seri with us today for a wonderful podcast, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I'll be asking a lot of questions, and the relevance and how germane it is to those of us that love Israel and appreciate our greatest democracy friend in the Middle East. And Seri, welcome to FIPS Faith Family Freedom Podcast.
It is a pleasure to be with you. I so much appreciate the invitation and to speak to fellow proud Americans who have a lot of love in their heart for the nation of Israel. Right. So thank you.
Now, you're presently in what state?
So I'm actually in Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, but I represent American Friends of Rambam Medical Center in the United States. We're the fundraising nonprofit arm for Rambam Medical Center in Haifa, Israel.
Right. I want you to tell the viewers about your work and where it is and what you're trying to accomplish and who is involved, kind of the who, what, where, why. Many of us don't have as much knowledge as we should have probably, and that's why you can enhance that and lend good information to it. Can you tell us exactly what you're doing there, and especially with the hospital?
With pleasure. So on behalf of the hospital, I try to raise awareness and funds for the growth and the needs of the hospital, including medical equipment. As you can imagine, now during war, there's an urgent need. Also begin by taking a step back and really emphasizing not just on what I do, but the hospital itself. So for those of you who may understand the geography of Israel, Rambam is on the shores of the Mediterranean in the beautiful city of Haifa. It's an integrated city. You'll find Israeli Jews and Arabs and Israeli Christians and Druze and people of all different minorities and groups living, coexisting very peacefully in the city of Haifa. It's the third largest city in the state of Israel. And Rambam is the largest and most advanced medical center in northern Israel for 2.5 million people. Now, after the Second Lebanon War, which happened in 2006, when Haifa in the north were targeted by Hezbollah even then. And more than 60 rockets fell around the hospital for more than a month. The leadership of the hospital realized they could never again endure a situation where everyone was fleeing for their safety. Windows were shattered. It was an unfortified hospital from these types of rocket or missile attacks. And so it was a time of great fear and anxiety, and there was quite a bit of destruction in the area of Haifa. So as a result of this, they launched a campaign to build what will be Israel's largest fortified underground emergency hospital. So after 2006, they moved forward with this very massive campaign to build underground a three-level state-of-the-art parking garage, which actually can transform in less than 72 hours into a 2,000-bed emergency hospital that can be allow a place of protection, a haven for all the medical staff and as well as any of the patients and casualties of war. And now is actually the first time that they've opened it as a result of the crisis in the north and Hezbollah once again raining down rockets, especially since this past weekend. So since October 8th, Hezbollah has been sending rockets, thousands, almost 11,000 rockets. But this weekend in particular, hundreds came down in deeper and in wider way in the north of Israel and hitting many more civilian areas. And so Rambam was told by the IDF Northern Command that they really had to open the underground hospital to be fully operational and to take their patients above ground, below ground, and to also receive patients from other unfortified hospitals.
Did I understand that the Raman Hospital is about six stories deep? Is that correct, or are you at liberty to give that information?
I can clarify that it is three levels deep. So, and it starts like 27, I believe, like, you know, feet below ground. And so each level is about 4 to 5 acres. And built within the underground hospital, you have all the electrical outputs and everything that's necessary for medical equipment, for oxygen. So where the cars would be parked during times of peace, they're, you know, in those areas, in those parking areas, they wheel in, they can wheel into and treat 2,000 patients. So they have operating rooms, maternity wards.
And so you have all of the, the appurtenances or the equipment maybe to do what a good hospital has the capacity, the tools, and the resources to do what is needed. Would that be a correct statement?
Well, thankfully, you know, the hospital has been preparing for this crisis. We have been raising money for needed medical equipment. The worst case scenario is, because Hezbollah is estimated to have between 150,000 to 200,000 more advanced, you know, rockets and missiles, that the worst case scenario is like 60 days of missiles raining down, possibly, you know, every few minutes, every hour. And so therefore there could be a lot of civilian casualties, because it'll be too much for Iron Dome to handle this, you know, onslaught of rockets and missiles. And therefore operating rooms may very well be, you know, utilized 24/7. And therefore we will need more, you know, more equipment, more supplies.
Right. What can people do, Sari, that might be watching our podcast or other media? What can we as citizens here in our nation, the United States, is there things that we can do to help, or can you prescribe that for us?
Certainly. Well, you know, we certainly cannot do this without the help of God and friends like you. You know, this is a time to really have moral clarity, to stand up, and to choose, you know, wisely. And I do believe that American Friends of Rambam can be a very trusted channel for individuals to donate, that it will, you know, all funds raised during this emergency campaign will be directed to the hospital so they can resupply as necessary. And if people are so inspired, they can reach us at our website at www.aforam.org, which is A-F-O-R-A-M. A-F-O-R-A-M.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps, and I believe that we need all of the materials that we can gather to help us as we combat the attack upon our faith, our family, and our freedoms. We need to be educated. And I have a handbook that has been given to state legislatures. It's been given to members of Congress. It's a colorfully created handbook that has graphs, charts, quotes, and different things in it. You'll be impressed with it. And also, we have DVDs. We have CDs that are God and Country, Return to Greatness, and Faith, Family, and Freedom, some other wonderful materials. See the contact information on the screen. Be sure that you order some, because these will be of a tremendous help. They are supplemental materials to help you in your Christian walk. And may God bless.
Embark on a life-changing journey through the ancient lands of Greece, where history and faith collide. Walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul as you explore the rich heritage and breathtaking beauty of this remarkable country. Over 11 unforgettable days, experience the vibrant culture and deep spiritual significance of cities like Athens, Corinth, and Thessaloniki. Discover the places where Paul preached, prayed, and penned letters that have inspired millions. From bustling markets to serene temples, this journey offers a unique blend of adventure, reflection, and fellowship. This incredible tour is brought to you by Signature Tours, a company with a family tradition of four generations. With meticulous attention to detail and the best private guides in the industry, Signature Tours ensures an amazing trip. Join Andrew Phipps and his wife Shirley from June 18th through the 28th, 2025, for an experience that will deepen your faith and leave you with memories to last a lifetime. Don't miss this opportunity to connect with history and make new friends on this incredible spiritual journey. Scan the QR code or head over to phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org to learn more and secure your spot today.
So you had mentioned about the tragedy of how so many bodies were desecrated by Hamas. And it was a big crisis in the South because they couldn't identify the bodies. They were so badly burned or mutilated. So Rambam had to, anticipation that something similar could happen because Hezbollah has threatened another October 7th in the North. They had to purchase a piece of a pathology equipment, which was over $1 million, so that they could quickly assess the DNA identification of people who potentially would be so badly burned. And they had the equipment to do it previously, but it was outdated. It wasn't in a fortified area. So now they had to buy something that, and what they had couldn't just so be easily moved. It was, it was big and bulky. So they had to buy something that they could directly put into, again, a protected area. And when I talk about fortification, I'm talking about, like with iron doors, that would be protected from, rocket fires and blasts. And so they needed to buy, the next generation of this type of equipment because families, want answers quickly. So it's again, just another sad result of this situation, which is, trying to anticipate, these awful, challenges ahead. The other thing is that Rambam did open a daycare center underground for their hospital employees for 450 children so far. And those numbers will probably grow. So again, we really are trying to think of our employees that no one wants to leave their children behind.
Oh no. Is the Iron Dome somewhat effective, the Iron Dome, for the incoming missiles and so on?
It's extremely effective, but it can only handle what it can handle. So if there is, Hezbollah has the potential to send such a quantity of rockets and missiles that it will exceed Iron Dome's capability to shoot them down. So this worst case scenario is that rockets will pierce through Iron Dome's capability. They will be missed, and they will hit
Do you think that the when we say you're preparing for the worst scenario, do you feel that that the hostilities are going to intensify? Is that your thinking at this moment?
Well, you know, since our mission is to save lives, you know, they need to be prepared for this worst case scenario. We certainly hope it will not materialize, but after this last weekend's onslaught of more intense, you know, rockets hitting deeper into Israel, into the north, the hospital had to move more than 650 patients underground, as well into other fortified areas. And we've been receiving babies from other hospitals. So I don't know how long we'll be there for. I mean, this is part of the stressful anxiousness that everyone is experiencing there. But we have to be prepared.
I've been privileged to go to Haifa. Now, is that your largest city?
It is the third largest city. It's the center of the country. You have Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, and we're in the periphery in the north in Haifa.
But it's a large epicenter. What is the order of your largest cities in Israel? I was thinking that Haifa wasn't the largest, but maybe I misunderstood what you said a while ago. What is your largest city?
So the largest would be the Tel Aviv metropolitan area. Yes. And then the Jerusalem area, and then Haifa. So Haifa has about 3.
Here in the United States, at least so many of us, we want to continue to do what we can for Israel and for their defense, and we cannot let Israel down. And as Christians, we are given a mandate in the Bible, in Scripture, to bless those that bless your nation and to obviously to curse those that curse your nation. That's in Genesis 12. And so we want to do all that we can for our friends there. And I want to thank you today for coming on the podcast. And if you have time, we'd like to invite you to come back and do another one with us at maybe when you have a convenient time.
I would love that. We so appreciate your friendship, your whole community's friendship. It really warms our hearts. And it's needed now more than ever. So a big thank you again for this very kind invitation.
All right. God bless you, Sari. Have a wonderful day and stay in touch. Thank you.
have trouble finding King James scripture items? Has your local Christian bookstore closed down like ours has? Do you have trouble finding things for events at church or personal items for at home? Well, this is the reason I created Kinsman & Company. It is a totally King James scripture product store. And today, I'm glad to announce that we now have scripture cards. These have King James scripture on them. They're blank on the inside, and they have beautiful scriptures on the outside. And so these right here, these are the Woodland Friends. And they all have encouraging scripture that you could send to your friends and family with a little note inside to say how much you care. I also have, besides the Woodland Friends, I have this beautiful garden collection. They come in a nice box. There's 12 in here, 4 designs, and you get 3 of each design with white envelopes. And then also, I have the lemon and lavender, which is so beautiful, that comes the same way. So anyway, if you're looking for a card that has King James scripture on it, please go to my website. It's Kinsman, as in the Kinsman Redeemer, K-I-N-S-M-A-N, and company.shop. And you can shop there, and you can find summer sales right now. Thank you.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
We have a great heritage. I want to use this thought today for a little bit here. You'll find it in Psalm 16, verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I have a goodly heritage. Unfortunately, as I travel the country, and I want to thank People's Baptist Church and Brother Satterfield and of course, Brother Ray yesterday escorted me around. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And my good brother is going to take me today, later. And you folks will never know what a blessing you have been to me. And I thank you for it from the bottom of my heart. But as I think about this here today, I think about the heritage. And I don't have time to go into everyone. But I think of the apostles. How that they were all martyred except John, and he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. We think he may have gone back to Asia, but he was in Patmos, for they kept prisoners. I think of Obadiah Holmes, who was the Puritans should have left him alone, but he was whipped so badly that he could not stand and for a great many weeks. And I think of people like John Bunyan. Again, I think about how that in Bedford, England, he was told that he couldn't speak there. And John Bunyan said this. He said to Judge Wingate, he said, I cannot do what you ask of me, Lord. I cannot place my signature upon any document in which I promise henceforth not to preach. My calling to preach the gospel is from God, and he alone can make me discontinue what he has appointed me to do. As I have no word from him to that effect, I must continue to preach, and I shall continue to preach. Judge Wingate said, we've heard enough. You don't have a license? And he said, I think we've heard the last of John Bunyan. Didn't know that John Bunyan would take little coals from his fire and take little pieces of paper from his milk jug and write Pilgrim's Progress. one of the great classics of all time. How that a man, I feel like preaching. How that a man named Christian on his way to the heavenly city. Now that's where I'm headed today. How about you? Somebody say amen. I think about men like John Leland, who told James Madison, we need an amendment to protect our religious freedoms. And James Madison complied. I've been up there, recorded where that took place. They added the First Amendment that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, nor shall freedom of speech, press, petition, and peaceful assembly be denied. If we have not the right to express ourselves in a religious way in the public square, we have no rights. I think about Tyndale that was burned at the stake. I think about men like Schubel Stearns that brought meetings to North Carolina, and out of that came men like Mordecai Ham, and from Mordecai Ham, Billy Graham and others. I think of George Whitefield. George Whitefield said it's a poor sermon that neither makes the listener nor the preacher to be offended. I think of the Black Robe Brigade. Did you know that the American Revolution was called on several occasions the Preacher's Revolt? I want to ad lib just a minute here. This is probably one of the most important places in the whole state of Georgia. Somebody ought to say amen there. Why would I say that? This is a place where we talk about and we articulate the faith of our fathers. We tell people that Jesus Christ was both God and man. 100% man, 100% God. Man, I do feel like preaching. He was a man in the fact that he could eat. God in the fact that he could feed 5,000. He was man in the fact that he could sleep. God in the fact that he would come out of that sleep and rebuke the wind. He was man in the fact that he would die, but God in the fact that he would rise victorious over death and the grave. Somebody say hallelujah. On September the 10th, 2001, on a Monday, Todd Beamer told his wife Lisa, he said, I think I'll leave early in the morning. I'll stay over. I'm going to San Francisco for business. But he said, I'll leave in the morning out of Boston, out of that airport there. Many of you, like myself, have flown there. Wasn't long. He got a hold of his wife. Her name was Lisa. And he said, something's terrible wrong. And she said, oh, Todd, don't you know? She said, the Twin Towers have been hit. He said, well, the pilot here is standing in front, and he tells us that he has a bomb strapped around him, and that if we do anything, he's going to take this plane down. We think the pilot has already been killed. Everybody's been moved back out of first class. And he got on the phone with a lady, and her name happened to be Lisa, Lisa Jefferson. And he said, Lisa, would you pray with me? And she recited the 23rd Psalm with him. And it wasn't long until Todd Beamer's famous words were uttered. He said, let's roll. And somewhere around Shanksville, Pennsylvania, a plane was brought down. We don't know if it was headed to the Capitol, the White House. But those 2,977 people that died that day on September the 11th, by people that changed our culture, names that we didn't know. We didn't know what a jihadist was. We didn't know what the Ayatollah maybe was. We didn't know these words that all of a sudden got intertwined into our vocabulary, and it changed us. Changed our way of flying. Changed our way of doing things. Now everybody has less freedom.
When I look at the culture of where we are, now this is where the pedal and the metal is going to get together. When I see where we are today, it saddens my heart. I've got a little great-grandson every day, just about it. They're living behind us right now temporarily. And his name is Baylor. And he comes to see Poppy. And they expect me to have donuts. And if I don't have them, you know what I do? I don't care if it's the middle of the night, I'll go get them. That's what we're supposed to do. Grandparents don't have good sense. We just let the kids tell us what to do. But I'm concerned about those little fellows. I'm concerned what kind of America are they going to grow up in? Where we have an agenda that says it's already all right to rip a baby apart in the womb and remove the body parts piece by piece. But don't call a man. It might be offensive to my agenda. God help us. Something is wrong in America when we can take little boys and little girls and try to make them into something they're not. I wondered what happened to us. Have we all gone insane? George Orwell's book, 1984, may be coming to fruition when he said that we would become like animals. What's wrong with us that we've got so many degrees we can look like a thermometer, but we can't tell what a man or a woman is? And we have people in power that are trying to do that to us. We can't deny it. We can't put it under the rug. If we can't see that today, we're in bad shape. Something is wrong. It was Macaulay that said, those who take no pride in the noble achievements of remote ancestors will never do anything worth being remembered by remote descendants. I saw a sign, Pastor, the other day, and it changed my way of thinking. It's out on the highway as we leave town. Somebody put it up, my brother, and it said this: what kind of ancestor are you going to be?
Dear friends, this is Andrew Phipps with Faith, Family, and Freedom. A cultural war is raging, and how it ends will have grave consequences for me and you. It appears that those who are striving to remove the ancient landmarks are succeeding, or at least they are getting the attention and notoriety. You and I have no choice. We must resist at all costs. Never in my lifetime have I seen such an attack upon our Christian heritage and values. The United States Constitution means little or nothing to these folks as long as they can promote their own agendas of extreme socialism and the most bizarre attacks upon all that we deem good and wholesome. Truth is rejected by those who hate the truth, and they hate America and its exceptionalism. Their goal is to make America into what it never has been. To these leftist radicals, their hatred of personal liberties and the freedom to practice the faith of our fathers are the narratives they chant nightly upon our so-called news channels. I know you agree. That's why I'm appealing to you today to join me in the fight to do all that we can do to preserve our heritage for our children and their children. This is a giant step of faith to go into these several television markets with our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcasts. These areas include Cleveland, Ohio, and that area, southwestern Michigan, Indianapolis, basically the southeastern part of Kentucky and much of Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, and over 40 counties in that state, as well as some of the North Carolina areas. This is a huge step of faith for me. And I need your help. So many of you have been so kind and allowed me to speak in your pulpits. But these television outlets give us an opportunity to possibly reach thousands, maybe millions. If you believe our ministry to be credible, would you consider helping us financially? A monthly support, a one-time offering, or whatever you can do would be so greatly appreciated. The need is now, and it is urgent. I am willing to do what I can do to speak truth to error as best as I can determine it. There is no need for us to talk about the deplorable conditions in which we find ourselves today if we're not willing to do something about it. Am I able to count on your support? I hope so. Would you please pray for our ministry and pray that God would give us discernment and provide the means that we can stand in the gap in these last days as we try to promote the principles of Christian living and the faith of our fathers. And this is Andrew Phipps.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
And friends, over the years for our broadcast, television and so on, we have accumulated many what we call golden nuggets, little slices of life that maybe that encompass the social, the economic, the political spheres of our living. And we have many times gone right into the television station and cut these nuggets, we call them. We have them available for radio even. Several stations across the country air our golden nuggets. If you, as a pastor or a church, would like to include them in your local programming or wherever you might broadcast, you certainly are welcome to do so. You can find them on our website, phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. And if you want to they're a minute in length, and they are professionally produced. I think you will appreciate that. And then also on our broadcast, we just want to share vital nuggets. We think these little snippets can be of a great help. They can enhance what we're doing, and we appreciate you in them as we present them here now on our programs.
Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps, and the former governor of Kentucky, the Commonwealth State, Ernie Fletcher, made a statement. He said, every tax dollar we spend is the result of the hard work of those we serve. I think that's true. The money doesn't grow just in some mysterious way. It comes from taxpayers or through borrowing. And unfortunately, we borrowed, it seems to me, about all that we can borrow. You know, with a $23 trillion debt, I don't know how we're going to sustain it. What kind of a burden will that put on our future posterity, on generations to come, our children and our grandchildren? When government does not live within its means, government is already in trouble. And many times government will take on assignments and will assume responsibilities in situations where it does not have the means to financially support that decision making. Sometimes we get burdened down with different kinds of pension systems, and now we don't have the monies there. Well, we're going to have to realistically take a look and say, what can we do and how can we do it? Because you can't go and print more money. We've even heard that suggestion, and I thought, my goodness, you know, that to do that would be like printing more marks under the German government during the 1920s when it would take a wheelbarrow of money to buy a loaf of bread. The government only has so many assets at its disposal, and let's make sure that we have people that understand that. Senator Tom Coburn did a book called The Debt Bomb, gave me a copy of that in D.C., and in his book he talked about how that a day of reckoning is coming, and coming very soon. I mean, it sounds good to have a free lunch, but ultimately somebody has to pay for it. And this is Andrew Phipps, and I hope that you have a great day. Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps. And when we make studies of civilizations, it's amazing that we see some parallels. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years on average. And it seems like they go through a cycle or a sequence. One, they start in bondage. They go to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith, they go to great courage. From courage to liberty. Then from liberty to abundance. From abundance, however, to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependence. And from dependence back in to bondage. Isn't that interesting when we reflect about the pattern? You know, I believe that when we look back at the Peloponnesians, or we look back at the Egyptians or the Romans, or we look back at the great civilizations like the Spaniards, and we look back at the United Kingdom, we look at how that one time the saying was that the sun never sets on the British Empire. And now, of course, they are reduced to considered one of the smaller nations in Western Europe. And I think of America. I just don't want to give up on America. I believe that God shed his grace upon this great land. And I believe that you and I need to be cognizant of the fact. We need to be aware of the fact that God had his hand in our development. And without his hand, we cannot make it. And this is Andrew Phipps.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now. And as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story written in a way that only Andrew can tell. From early survival and great loss to eventual success and many aspects of his life, Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, it's always a struggle, but by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Friends, this is Andrew Phipps, and thank you for being a part of our Faith Family Freedom program. I also want to tell you that we have a book, It's Always a Struggle, that I think that you would enjoy. I think that it would be a help to you. Now, remember, we're on BBS radio podcasts. We also have television stations that our programs are aired. You can go to our website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. If you want to order any of our products, you can use PayPal there on the website, or you can get in touch with us directly. Also, I want to tell you that we are developing a program in June of 2025 for the Journeys of Paul. We will be working and trying to promote this wonderful trip to go to the places where the Apostle Paul visited, places like Thessalonica, people like places like Athens and so on, and Ephesus and so on. So go to our website, check it out, and if you have interest, you work right through the tour people. You don't have to send me anything, because just go to the website. It has all the specificities there for you. You can sign up and get ready to join me and Shirlene, hopefully for June 2025, The Journeys of Paul. If you want the book, the same thing that we just said. So join us on our website, and we appreciate Brother Charles Haas, our media guy, for helping us. He helps us tremendously. I want to say just a few words here today about the political fallout that we're witnessing. I think we're going to have some kind of overhaul of our political system. I think these PACs, the political action committees, and these other groups, they have way too much money. I'm all for free speech. The Supreme Court has ruled that giving money to candidates falls under that classification. But I think there needs to be some adjustments, perhaps some revisions. When a Senate race will cost maybe $200 million, that's too far. Something's wrong. I mean, I'm all for citizens being able to contribute. I don't think we ought to go to paid campaigns where the government pays for it. No, I don't want that. The government's already involved in too much of our lives. I'm like Ronald Reagan once said, some of the most strange words you can ever hear would be that I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I'm glad I don't get all the government that I pay for. But in political things, I do think we ought to have term limits. We ought to set a limit on the years that a member of the House of Representatives and our Senate can serve. That could be done. people can get together, and I know they can come up with a viable solution. Secondly, we're going to have to, as I said, revisit the financing of our campaigns. I don't know if we have to decide how much and to what kind of a group, how much they can give or whatever. I do think it ought to all be published. Now, there is some form of that you can check, but it doesn't help us much when a political action committee has already paid maybe millions of dollars into somebody's Senate campaign. And so it's beginning to be a race of who can raise the most money. Somebody said money is the mother's milk of politics. Politics makes strange bedfellows of people. People line up with a group today, next week or next month or next year, they may be in total opposition to those people. So I know politics is it's a sport where it can be felt. It's a hands-on sport in the sense that it's hard to be a nice guy and win. Furthermore, it's hard to tell the truth and win. In the book of Exodus, I believe it's chapter 30, I believe it is, and maybe verse 18, that where Moses gave the prescription, or Moses' father-in-law told Moses, rather, that you were to choose able men, men of truth, men that hated covetousness, people that love God. Wouldn't it be nice today if we could get those kinds of people running for political office? I think another thing is that we're going to have an enlightened electorate. I was referring to contact sports a while ago, but we also have to have people that are involved. We have to know the issues. You can't go by just what these media, so-called media like ABC, what a disgrace that those people did the other night. I mean, they're not interested in the facts. They're interested in a narrative. They want a certain spin. They want a certain conclusion. So if they can masquerade or put it behind some kind of covering, they'll do it. It's unfortunate. But the days of Walter Cronkite, Ed Morrow, and others like that are gone. Chet Huntley and people that we used to look up to, and we thought they were neutral because they never talked about their own political affiliations. We just assumed that they were giving us the news. Today, everybody has a narrative. They have an agenda, and they want you to fall into it. The media, as some used to call it, the fourth estate, is so powerful. It's so big. And so you have to be careful. I have to be careful. Where do we get our news? I think that we ought to know that there are news works out there that will do that. That's what we're on this broadcast, BBS. We're trying to speak truth to error. It's so imperative that you know, that you hear all of the sides to it. We're here to tell you what we believe to be true. We believe in faith in our God. We believe in the family, the nuclear family. We believe in freedom. We believe that we ought to give viability to the 10 amendments that were added in 1791 to our Constitution. And so we have a great job to do as citizens. We're not to sit back on the sofa with our favorite soft drink and chips and just let the world pass by. If we do that, we will suffer harm. In the old Bible, when Israel would go against the tenets of God, violate his laws, they usually suffered either through pestilence, plagues, or war. Those three means there. A pestilence would come, there would be plagues, there would be wars, and people in Israel, they'd have a good king, and then they'd go for three or four more, and then they'd have another good king like Josiah, and then they'd have another one. But some of the kings, like Ahab, the most wicked king in all of Egypt, yet there was a man by the name of Elijah that confronted him, and he called him out. He called him out, and Ahab feared Elijah. We ought to have such a Christian coalition that people would give us not only respect, but they would fear the conclusions if they went against what we're saying. You know, common sense ought to be something that everybody would believe in. The idea of having secure borders, the idea of trying to balance our budgets to live within our means, the idea that we need a workforce driven by supply and demand and people making decisions. We don't need a collective. I don't need to have to call you comrade. I don't believe in socialism and the extreme form that it leads to of communism, where one of the cardinal beliefs is that there is no God. When you take away God out of the equation, whether it's socially, economically, or politically, we're in for ruin. We're in for negative, dire retribution. God is God, and besides him, there is none other. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. I hope that you'll continue to tell others about these programs. It's always a joy to be with you.
Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land that Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place, and in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it heaven.